Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley. You know, I just wanted to point out that Worf's adopted brother passed away.
Worf's adopted brother?
Or his brother.
Oh, he did?
His human brother died, yeah. Paul Sorvino played his fucking human brother. Yeah. Yes.
That's right. I forgot about him. Yeah, I know.
That one episode, and then he was never mentioned again.
Well, it's much like in Trek. Like, we never knew Kirk had a brother until he died. And then Kirk died. And it was Shatner with a mustache, so. they should have did that with in Strange New Worlds. I had the guy that played Kirk play Sam Kirk.
With that would be funny.
He died. And then David Warren, infamous Star Trek fame, passed away. And, of course, today, Nichelle Nichols. It's like
Star Trek taking some hits this week.
Yeah, definitely. It was cool though, like going on Twitter and then seeing everybody, like from all Trek, you know, the producers.
Jesus, for Michelle Nichols. Jeez, my whole Twitter feed, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's like the creator of Lower Decks and like the producers of Strange New Worlds and you know, everybody coming out. It's like, that's really cool. I'm really glad to see that. So we start off on a low note there. And that's a great way to enter our 100th episode.
I mean, listen, we don't control the news. We just report it.
Exactly. So our 100th episode. It's kind of a surprise, 100th episode. And we're like 8 episodes in on season 4 of Enterprise.
Don't worry. We're not retiring it or changing it.
Although we would have been over Enterprise, but I remember we traded up for Discovery a couple of times. So that's why this has gone on as
Should we have? I don't know. Enterprise is a gem, okay?
So it's kind of weird. We started this just before the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, hey, when you're doing something damn near every Sunday, you'll chug right along.
I know we missed a month or two, but for obvious reasons. But it's kind of weird because I looked back and I was like, 100 episodes. And then when it went back, I was like, oh, yeah, we started in like February or March of 2020, like right before the pandemic. Gave us something to do during that time and still does. Yeah. So, we're gearing up after, this episode or this season. I figure we should be 4 years and we should be done with this series. And then we should, we'll be entering in, kind of the pre-TOS era with The Cage and then obviously the first two seasons of Discovery, which should go by kind of fast because those were like 16 episodes and 13 episodes, so shouldn't be too big of a...
Oh, honestly, and I'm not trying to sound like an asshole, but if Discovery was 26 episodes, I would have strongly been like, can we skip Discovery and just move to TOS, please? Because I'm excited to do TOS. Because Discovery, not because Discovery's bad, but it's just new. I've watched it recently, you know. So I'm ready to move to TOS. And then, of course, we have to do the original animated series as well.
Yeah.
And then I think that's right after TOS, isn't it?
Yeah, right after TOS, the animated
series. I haven't watched a single episode of that on purpose.
I haven't watched that since a long time ago, and I have vague memories of it. I don't even remember much of it.
I purposely
except for the giant Spock. I think I remember a still of that, but I think that's
didn't Lower Decks use the animation from that show?
Yeah, they use that
screen.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots. I remember when we saw that and we were fucking dying. The shit was so funny.
I was thinking like, you know, it would have been cool for if we were to do a Patreon. And I'm not sure how many people would be into this, but like we could, you know, if we did a Patreon, we could do, you know, the new Trek, because obviously we wouldn't get to that in the foreseeable future if we were to do this for the next 20 years. You know, do like the later seasons of like Discovery and Picard and Lower Decks and all that stuff that happened after like Voyager, you know. I think that would have been kind of cool to do that. And then just do like maybe like an audio commentary, like, you know, just basically our little track of watching some episodes. And then like, you know, being us watching those episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, that idea's got kicked around a couple times.
Yeah. So that'd be kind of cool as a Patreon. I wonder how many people would be into that. But anyway... we kick off this episode with the second to final episode of the season, possibly the series, of the Orville, Domino. Now, I gotta admit, I kind of got hyped for saying like Keira Knightley in this one, but I was like, oh wait, no, that's not gonna happen.
She's an actress, okay?
Right. So, your thoughts?
I notice we always start with my thoughts when it comes to the Orville. It was okay. The problem with me is I'm not very excited to watch the show anymore. Like, I don't think there's going to be a season 4, or at least anytime soon. And there's just, it seems like every other episode, it's like I'm looking at releases of Windows over here. You know, like, this episode was good. The budget was big. Like we were talking before the podcast, enemy of my enemy is my friend. There was less of everyone being a moron. I will admit that. They really want to push that one chick that hates Isaac or used to hate Isaac or whatever.
Right.
But literally no connection to that character whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because she's new and they kind of just shoehorned her in. Yeah. And I get it because they needed someone to replace what's his face? Because he's in engineering now. But I did like the whole battle scene where they were both in the those cool ass fucking fighter shuttles or whatever. I thought that device thing was cool. One thing the show does though is that something it's almost like an old school TV show where a solution to a problem happens off screen in between two episodes.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like all of a sudden, like there's this big issue. Now all of a sudden they have this like ultimate weapon, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, that's okay. That's a Star Trek thing too. I'll let that go. But they,
you're not talking about like when T'Pol suddenly became a crack addict, right?
Right. Like this weird shit. Like what the fuck? But all in all, I think visually it was very good. I think everybody acted in it well. I thought it was much better than most of the episodes from the season. But there's a problem with that, though, is now what's the season finale going to be? Because this felt like the season finale.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like – and with their track record, I have a feeling the season finale is not going to be that great. But that's just me being
if it's anything like the pessimistic. Season, the season opener.
Well, come on. Jesus Christ. We can make an episode of just you and me pretending we're on the Orville. It probably might be better than the first episode. But we're the only two people who think that. I've noticed online people are doing some serious dick riding of this show.
Yeah.
And hey, I'm not someone who's going to say people are morons for enjoying things. I'm just wondering what I'm not noticing. Because I'm watching it and I'm either somewhat entertained, bored, or just going, what the fuck is this?
Well, it's funny because I saw something like, I guess like an Orville podcast was like, this is the greatest episode of science fiction ever. And then like the comments were like, it was good, but I don't think it was like
he needed
great.
To calm down.
And then somebody had said like, but I think like, and they mentioned a couple other TV shows and then their response was, well, I just disagree. And I was like, yeah, cause you have a Orville podcast. So what are you going to sit there and say like, yeah, it was me. You know, it's like,
yeah.
The thing is like with us, even with Star Trek episodes, like we'll tell you the episode was meh, you know, or it wasn't a good episode. We're not afraid to do that because we love, but that doesn't mean we don't love Star Trek. We love Star Trek even for its bad stuff. But like, you know, it's kind of like, okay, dude, it's, you know, it was like, I've, you know, and like the person said, somebody said like, all good things. They mentioned, best of both worlds, part one and two. And I was like,
all the universally agreed upon greatest sci-fi episodes of all time.
Right. And it's
were like, listed.
Yeah. And it's like, I was like, and I wanted to just comment and be like, it wasn't film. It was digital, like, you know, so you ever put on film.
I saw one that said Inner Light would like to have a word with you. Yeah, I love that way of saying things on Twitter, like yeah. This better thing would like to have a chat.
Yeah,
okay. But yeah, it was some, like I said, I've been seeing that on Reddit, Twitter. Like, we saw that with the first episode where we were like, oh, this episode's garbage. And then we went online. Everyone's like, oh, my God, greatest. I'm like,
this was a life-affirming episode. And it's like, what happened?
It's like, there's Schindler's List. And then there's the Orville. Like, people were really – I was like, guys.
Citizen Kane and then the Orville. Like,
and I'm like, I like Seth MacFarlane, too. But come on. You know, I have noticed, though, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I love the Orville because it's not like – the new Star Trek. And I'm like, is that what I'm seeing? Am I seeing a lot of dick riding because people do hate Discovery?
But the thing is that it's like, this is Discovery, but they just make stupider decisions, you right. know? And then somebody had said, and I saw this on there, that was like, look at, and it was the shot from last week's episode when they were on that Mauchlin refugee planet. And, you know, they had that cool nebula and like it was a really long shot of like the Orville going through that before it turned around and then went and then went into warp. The Orville did such a beautiful job. There's no reason that Star Trek could not give us shots like this. And I was like, it does. More than like 3 seconds of a beautiful shot. And I was like, because they have a story to tell. They don't have the hour and a half that they can do.
You know
do.
What's funny? I know exactly what you're talking about. And as soon as I saw that it was taking a while for them to do that turn, I'm like, oh, they really needed to fill up a little bit of time.
Yeah. Because it's like now we have all this time so we can make it as long as we want. And because that episode, that shot would have been a fraction on Fox.
Oh, yeah.
You know, would have been a fraction on Fox.
has nothing to do with how Star Trek does it or how the Orville does it. Is that what we're doing now? Yeah. The parody of Star Trek is we're now comparing.
That's
them,
the like, bar. That's the bar now.
Like, come on, dude. Like, the show is not horrible. You know, it's a good show, but good is about all I'm giving it. I can't go above that. Like, I'm probably being a little bit more critical than I should, because who really gives a fuck? But it's just I'm only doing that in protest of how people are acting about how amazing this show is, you know. And I don't respond to anybody or anything like that, because I'm one of those people, like, if you're only going to be negative, you just keep it pushing. There's no point.
We'll just talk about it. We'll just talk about it on the show.
Let's talk about it on the podcast, right? But I'm not one of those people on Twitter to just constantly like, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Like, I don't have the energy or the time.
Unless you're me with Dr. Oz, but
because dude, so Dr. Oz is running for, what is it, governor of Pennsylvania,
senator of Pennsylvania.
He lives in New Jersey, so he's a carpetbagger. Okay, and. Fucking, if there's one person on this planet that will not let him get away with that fact, it is Stephen Vargas. It's like every day I was going on Twitter, he would say something. He's like, what does New Jersey think about it? I'm like, and I wasn't saying like you're being an asshole. I thought it was funny because it was just constant. And it reminded me of there's this Twitter account that's supposed to be like Miles O'Brien.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he's funny, but for some reason, anytime any kind of corporation tweets, he'll go, "Would you pay a fair wage to your workers?" But it started to become funny because it was like McDonald's would say, "We're releasing, you know, whatever." And then he go, "Why don't you release fair wage to your workers?" Like, okay. Like, dude, shut up.
I was salty the last couple of days, so you know.
I thought it was funny. Well, I agree with you. I mean, you don't vote for someone who's in a different, who can't even bear to live in your state,
right?
Like, come on, and don't vote for anybody who is a personality on television. Jesus, this is funny. Every time I saw it, I go, "I fucking see," every fucking time.
But I think I was probably a little better in response to this episode than Adam was. I liked the episode. I was a little thrown off, like, these two just came up with a massive weapon to take them all down, like, in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, we just conveniently lost the Mocklins as an enemy, as an ally. Now we suddenly come up with an ultimate weapon. I was like, okay, all right, that's a little, you know, that's definitely on par with Trek, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, going, all right, but it was the visual was really fucking cool. Seeing the Mocklins and the what was the other race?
Krill.
Seeing them team up was natural. I expected that. Although
I did like that little exchange.
I did too, where she was like, the women can't be. And I was like, wow, you got some balls, dude. And then she literally says that whole thing about,
there's a human expression. You really have balls. I was laughing.
I know. I was like, going, damn. I was like, you got some balls there.
Also, you know what I said too? That when she said there's a human in spread, I'm like, damn, do we really live in rent free in your fucking head, huh? You're on your planet. Ain't not one human light years from where you are.
Ned left an impact, I'm telling you.
He lived it with that fucking ding-a-ling, bro.
You know, and so, you know, finding that, and then, you know, I like the whole moral dilemma. Like, should we use the weapon against the,
yeah, that was,
you know,
cool.
I thought that was kind of cool. Although the convenience of where they locate, where they stored it, I was like, but they stored in the warehouse that they store the Ark in at the end of Raiders. Like, is that what we're doing here?
Well, the thing, but in their defense, it took an admiral to get it.
Yeah.
You know, they even made a thing like who had these codes to get in this room.
Right.
You know, and it's the only reason I'm a little harsher than Steve is, and it's 100% my thing, is that I have so many things I want to do. It is very easy for me to get bored, and I'm bored with this show. Like, it hasn't been keeping my attention this season. I honestly, I had to admit to myself the other day I think the only real reason I'm still watching it is because we talk about it on this podcast. Because it hasn't been grabbing me. Like, I was on the phone when I was watching it. Like, I was fucking going through Twitter and shit. You know, so that's a me thing, though. I'm fickle.
I thought it was very Star Trek VI. You know, the Admiral giving the weapon to the Krill and the Mocklins. I was like, okay. And my biggest complaint was, you're leaving the ship of two of your known enemies, and you're not immediately going to warp, like, right out the gate. You know, like, I would not be sitting there going, da, 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 da. It's like you're taking a tour. Like, it's like Lower Decks and the pylons on DS9. Keep circling. You know, it was kind of like, how long are you taking? Like, we've seen ships come out and then immediately go to like hyperdrive or whatever they call it.
I think he's the dumbest. He's the one character in this episode that was dumb.
Yeah.
Because even just bringing the weapon to this, like, you know, these people don't give a fuck about you. They're only just going to take what you're going to give them and then fuck you. You know, it was really dumb. Now, also, one thing I have to say, what is with this constant guitar and singing scenes that we have? It's really odd. Like, yeah. I'm not against some random, you know, human thing happening, you know, people doing some extracurricular activities, but it's always this. Like, it's always the helmsman singing and playing the guitar.
Maybe they're
what's her name added in
maybe
there?
Maybe they're trying to do a Riker with the trombone, you know?
Yeah, but Riker handled that fucking trombone.
I still love that part where he went to do the solo, and just as he's about to do it, the red alert sound.
That shit was so funny. Like I said, that's fine, but it's like, it seems to be a lot.
Yeah. It was, well, what, like, this is the second time already this season that he's done that? Because he did this.
I think it's the third, isn't it?
I thought it was the second. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Either way, it's weird.
But
it's
weird. But the end would have impacted me more if I liked her.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people were saying. Even if they were praising the episode, they were going, I just don't care about this character.
Yeah, they tried really hard to make us not like her. And then I got somebody on there like, well, you know, there are people, you know, being military, you know, whatever, and saying, like, you know, people like this will always do something kind of batshit crazy. And I was like,
yeah, and I don't like those people either. Yeah, what's your point?
It's like going, yeah, we're not saying that wouldn't happen. We're saying
no one said she wasn't realistic.
Yeah,
we're just saying no one likes her.
No one liked her. And that was the thing. It's like, I didn't care. Like, I actually was kind of like, cool, you know, and but, you know, it's like.
I just figured Seth stopped dating her. That's what happened to the last one.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like,
this ain't working out. Oh, that's fine. You know, things, these relationships don't work out. Next day she gets a letter. Hey, cutting you from the show.
We changed the scene. You know how you all escaped? Yeah, you know, we rewrote those pages. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I just didn't care all that much. The only thing that made me kind of like, oh, that was kind of cool, was Isaac's speech. You know, that actually was really good. But
Isaac, I think out of every character on the show, Isaac's gotten the most well-developed arc. Like, he's a really interesting character.
Yeah.
I think they really, because we all know when the show first came out, they're like, oh, that's Data. That's their Data. But I think he's a individual, a very separate character. And I've been impressed with that character. One character that gets the opposite of that is the captain.
Yeah.
You can painfully tell that I'm honest to say phoning it in.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying Seth MacFarlane is phoning it in, just his character, like the writers or whatever. They're not really making him do much, which is odd since he's the captain.
We've kind of theorized that if season four happens, Seth MacFarlane's not going to be there because Kelly's been pushed to the front a lot. So it looks like they're kind of getting the audience ready for transitioning of if they come back for
cool.
four.
Kelly's cool.
Yeah, they're gonna. He'll get promoted or something. He'll make probably recurring appearance or whatever. And
she's a bit of a busybody, but you know, yeah, she's cool.
She gets into a lot of people's business, but you know,
you know, one thing. I'll say this. The last thing I want to say, as this show progresses, and I've felt this since the beginning, they really should have made the Orville a more important ship. because they don't mention it anymore, but it's just like a mid-tier science vessel, and they're having it do literally everything.
Yeah.
You could get away with that in Star Trek when it was the fucking flagship of the fleet.
Right.
But this isn't the flagship of the fleet. So I'm always sitting there in the back of my head going, why are they having them do this?
Yeah.
When you got bigger ships, more capable ships, like also more capable captains. This show's set up that Ed is kind of an idiot. And the only reason he's a captain is because Kelly vouched for him.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I don't know. That always is in the back of my head. I guess I should just get the fuck over it. But, you know, whatever.
But like, lastly, it's, you know, for me, it was, yeah, I just didn't care all that much. I did like how Isaac covered her when, you know, the Machlin tried to tried to shoot her, and then he, you mm-hmm. know, he covered it but let him escape, and then the admin or whatever was like, you know, why'd you let him go? He's like, it wasn't necessary to kill him, you know. And I thought that was, I think it, that was cool that they he discovered that, you know, the humans aren't all the same, but I think it just happened way too quickly.
Yeah.
And that would have been a good, that would have been a good thread to kind of like leave open. So like, you know, if they come back next season, maybe they can progress into doing that. But I think, you know, but again, that's also Star Trek. That's also our sci-fi.
Yeah. You just move it forward quickly. I also saw it coming a mile away, that he was going to learn, you know, his heart was going to get bigger for Christmas.
You know, I just, I mean, you know, I was actually thinking that, you know, Isaac was going to catch, you know, the doctor cheating on him with the admin, because, you know, but
the best part of this episode is it wasn't focused on the fucking doctor's love life. That was the best part of this episode,
which I think is going to take a backseat next week when we're going to get, I think, more of that, because it looks like love is in the air next week. So
love is in the air, not for a fourth season. I would love to see the show come back. I think it's just a lot of shows that I've liked have had rocky seasons, you know, and I just think
try the first two seasons of TNG.
Oh, Jesus. And that's a lot of it too, because this whole New Horizons thing, a big tone shift. This is almost like a first season.
Yeah.
You know, so you could definitely tell they're kind of trying to go, what do we want to do here? You know? So it's fine. I would love to see the show come back. But the problem is, if it comes back 2-3 years from now,
yeah,
they can't keep doing that. There's too much shit. I don't want to sound like that guy, but there's way too much shit to do. People are going to forget. I mean, I forgot about it anyway. When the third season came out, I had to look up the wiki to look up shit. I was like, who the fuck is this person that I'm supposed to know?
Yeah, and those people that love Orville just to hate New Trek or whatever. Whatever, dude. You guys are just... you're killing yourselves.
Good
but
for you.
Yeah. But yeah, but for like a lot of Trek fans, including myself and Adam, we're looking at that because there was no Trek, or there was only Discovery.
And yeah, there was a niche that needed to be filled, doesn't need to be filled anymore.
Yeah, because now we've just come off of a year of complete Trek for a year.
Yeah. And I think the Orville, the people who put that show out know that, which is why this whole New Horizons and trying to go its own path, because they're like, okay, we can't keep riding on this. I know you miss 90s Trek, because no one, that's not the problem anymore.
Yeah.
You know, Strange New Worlds really fucked the Orville, to be honest.
And Strange New Worlds, and I think Lower Decks.
Lower Decks as well. Yeah. In a more comedic sense. And fucking just all of it, just all the Trek, all the Trek all the time. Okay. There's a lot of fucking Star Trek out. Yeah. Like we could sit here and say, if you're a Star Trek fan, it's okay if you don't like fucking Picard or whatever, but there's some show that you do like, you know, I've seen people online, they only like Lower Decks, like new fans.
Yeah.
They're coming from the Rick and Morty camp,
right?
You know, coming over and stuff like that. So Star Trek is hitting a lot of different kinds of people now. So the Orville's got to stand out on its own. It can't keep riding that nostalgia train, because that train has left the station. So, but yeah.
All right. So let's kick off our 100th episode with Awakening.
Yeah, we got a fucking a real famous cat in this episode too, even though he's just inside the captain's head, but still, you know.
UPN Friday. Beneath the Vulcan desert lies a treasure, not of gold, but of mind.
Open your heart, and the way will become clear.
Some have died to seek it.
Vulcan is tearing itself apart.
Some have killed to hide it.
Drive Enterprise from orbit. He's going to start an interstellar war.
And it's buried in the last place a Vulcan would look. A three-part Star Trek event.
The Awakening is episode 8 of season 4, first aired November 26, 2004. This is the second of third Serenites episode, that arc. I said that sentence in the wrong way. in the Vulcan versus Andoria arc, this is 6 of 7. This is directed by Roxanne Dawson, who... gotta double check who. Yep. Steve's not a fan. Okay. I always confuse her, not when I see her, but when the names, I confuse it with the second in command on DS9. So I always have to click on it and go, I know he likes one of these. Doesn't like this one.
Kira?
Yeah.
Wow, she doesn't direct, but okay.
Sorry, I'm not perfect. I don't fucking know.
If I could roll my eyes any further.
We can't all be Steve and remember millions of useless facts. I don't know.
I can't remember to pay shit, but I can remember useless Star Trek facts.
Hey, we all have talents, okay? Who needs memory alpha, you know? I don't know why. Every time I see Roxanne Dawson, that's the first person I think of is Kira. It's weird. I don't know. Who cares? Archer and T'Pol encounter the Serenites. You know, it's the whole purpose of the art. Right. The radical group supposedly responsible for a terrorist bombing on Vulcan. Before I even get into this, the mom, T'Pol's mom, is very much giving off that vibe of that aunt that's gotten into that kind of weird church that you don't know much about.
if anything, you'd see her wearing a red hat at some point. You know, you'd be like,
yeah, like yeah. It's gonna. If things didn't transpire the way they did in this episode, it would have slowly got worse because it was getting worse in the episode.
Right, right. Like,
the rhetoric was getting a little bit more heightened and shit.
Yeah.
Saval appears before the Vulcan High Command to answer for his use of a mind meld on Corporal Aswith in sickbay on Enterprise NX-01. By the way, the leader, the head of the High Command, is very emotional.
Yeah.
He's always raising his voice and getting a little uppity. Someone needs to reread the books Serac put out.
Well, that I thought was really clever because as we're going on and
it's subtly showing you he's against Serac's teachings.
Well, not only that, but like, you know, people have always said that the Vulcans were different than the Vulcans of Spock's era. And I thought that this was a really cool way of kind of fixing that of like, oh, well, not everybody followed Sarek's readings and it got translated and corrupted, like, you know, modern religions, how they get twisted and shifted and stuff like that.
Yeah, it makes sense. But then even one of the main Serenite chick was the same way.
Yeah.
He's fucking raising their damn voice. I would be, if I was Archer, I'd be like, hey, aren't you Vulcan? Keep it down. Right? Take the bass out of your voice. Saval states that he needs to conceal his abilities for the best interest of Vulcan. He felt that the service he performed outweighed his crime. Of course he did. Falas states that although Saval's record is impressive, there's no excuse for deception.
He gave the Will Smith kind of speech. Right. You know, I just like pleasing people. That's what I like to do. And
you know, letting people the fear of letting people down is like my primary trauma. Oh, shut the fuck up. Also, can we roll back the word trauma, by the way? That used to be like the number one thing to say about something that upset you. It was trauma. Like, it was like the worst thing. Now trauma is like fucking I lost my keys this morning. The trauma, you know, like Jesus Christ. I hate people. It's everyone. Blast states that although Saval's record is impressive, there is no excuse for deception. Saval states that deception is no stranger to the High Command. Blast dismisses Saval from service and orders him to return all confidential material. In addition, Blast reminds Saval that his oath of loyalty is still in effect. It's basically, you're fired, but you still got to do what I tell you to do.
Right.
I'm like, fuck you, bitch. I still going on PTO.
Yeah, you're fired, but I own you.
Right. Act one. Oh, my back hurts, bro. Carrying this team. On Vulcan, the mysterious people who have captured Archer and T'Pol in the T'Krath Sanctuary are revealed to be Serenites under the de facto command of T'Pau. T'Pau, I think her name's kind of cool. Archer, who still believes that T'Pau bombed the embassy, angrily confronts her over the death of his friend, Admiral Forrest, and 42 others. This whole scene is hilarious. T'Pol denies involvement in the bombing and chides Archer for crossing the forge with false information. So he kind of rushes through it, but I was laughing my fucking ass off because she goes, so what were you intending to do when you got here? Were you going to place me under arrest? And he goes, something like that. And she goes, interesting. I was like, what the fuck? You look like an idiot right now.
Like, what are you going to do? Place me under arrest? Maybe.
Oh, maybe I won't.
He starts gyrating his hips, or maybe you want a little bit of this first.
But now that I see you, cuffs will be involved. You understand? you can totally tell that she's just not impressed with humanity in general, and he wasn't countering her point. So, afterward, as T'Pol and Archer explain, they befriended the late Areev, or is it Areev or Aref?
I think it's a reef.
While crossing the desert, they are welcomed with sorrow. That was very poetic. Welcomed with sorrow. Mm-hmm. As T'Pau, I want to say T'Pol every time I read that name. As T'Pau explains, Areev was in fact Siren, their leader. Dun, 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 dun. That dude gave off fucking Spock's brother vibes anyway in the fucking cave.
Yeah. He was episode. He was one of those that. He had a panel van. Like, yeah. That just kind of like.
But not in a creepy way. He was just one of those dudes who was just like, I don't work. I just travel and do odd jobs every once in a while for food.
The hippie van, the one that did the converts the van into like a living area.
Mm-hmm. Paints a wizard on that bitch. You know what I mean? Locked in a room at the sanctuary, Archer slumps over near a window. T'Pol goes to his side and asks if he's all right. Archer recalls that before Areev died, he put his hand on his forehead and now he feels something inside his head. Archer confides to T'Pol that since the incident, he has not felt like himself. And T'Pol said nothing. Meanwhile,
he put his hand on my face and then I put it, for some reason, my hand went to his dick. I don't know why.
I feel like I was being coerced. But it felt nice, you know?
I didn't object to it.
I didn't object. It just felt right. T'Pau confronts T'Les. These T's are killing me. Like, like seriously. T'Pol's mother, over her decision to lead her daughter and Archer to their hiding place with the modified IDIC pendant, she explains that she only wanted to assure her daughter that she was fine. T'Pau regretfully remarks that if Siren is indeed dead, all they have worked for is lost. Solemn moment. Met with sorrow, you know? In the captain's ready room. Commander Tucker. Oh, yeah. Tucker was all over that command role this episode, too. It was fucking dope. Yeah. Commander Tucker expresses his disbelief on Saval's expulsion from the high command. Saval notes that he can file a protest, but Velas is not one to change his mind. I also like in this episode, like, Tucker has never liked Saval.
That's one of Saval. The Vulcans. He just never liked Vulcans.
Yeah. But since he knows this one's riding with him a little bit, the tone changes. Like, Tucker's a passionate dude, but he's not irrational. You know what I mean? Like, well, sometimes he is, but it's just impressive how quick he's.
He
like,
only
okay,
got
well.
Pregnant once, okay, and he only had twice. And only had one girl commit suicide. So you know we
don't talk about that. Small remarks that his last petition his lost position and future career plans are the last thing they should be concerned with now, and ask the commander if they have been to have been able to contact Archer or T'Pol. We can't reach them, and they can't reach us. Saval reveals that Velas is planning on bombarding the Serenite Sanctuary in the Forge, which is where Archer and T'Pol are headed. Saval remarks that they are in grave danger, obviously, because they're going to carpet bomb the fucking joint.
Right.
After some time,
it was weird to see one of the Vulcans go, "I love smell of napalm in the morning."
Yes.
I thought it was a bit of a reach, but I was
then
like,
"Then you heard the macro bounding." T'Pol is brought to her mother. Their discussion goes nowhere, as the daughter can't understand her mother's choice to join people she considers as extremists. Even after she hears Teles's explanation, the High Council's propaganda still holds. It seems like the person writing this has chosen a side. supposed to be unbiased over here. Get mixing in with the politics, brother.
Star Trek was never woke. I like this old Trek.
That's right. In his cell, Captain Archer has a vision. He sees explosions in the far distance. The war is taking its toll. Vulcan is tearing itself apart. An elderly appearing Vulcan man says. The man stands at a distance from Archer. "Who are you?" Archer asks. "You know who I am, Captain."
"I'm Vengeance."
"Vengeance." "I'm Batman." Archer quickly deduces.
"Swear to me."
Archer quickly deduces that the Vulcan man is Serac himself, the father of Vulcan philosophy. It's like Socrates, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if Socrates saved humanity from murdering himself. Archer tells Serac that this does not feel like a dream. Serac tells Archer that he is viewing the past through his eyes.
It doesn't feel like a dream. Shh. Just let it happen.
Because it's not.
What?
When he tells Archer, Siren transferred Serac's Katra to Archer's mind before he died. Serac tells Archer that he must return his people to the right path, and that, to use an Earth expression, they are stuck with each other now. Just then, T'Pol snaps him out of it. Stunned, he sits down. Act 2. Velas informs the council that the Serenite camp has been located. Velas intends to order its eradication, which prompts objection from another council member, Kovac, someone who didn't have a hyphen at the beginning of his name because he didn't need to be extra. You know what I mean?
I'm a badass motherfucker without it, so fuck it.
He don't even have a last name, bro. He just be riding around. "I'm Kovac, baby. What's up?"
Kovac, bitch.
He proposes simply arresting them when they inevitably need to leave the camp. Basically, he has the rational choice. He's like, they're going to have to leave eventually. Just wait it out, and then we can arrest them. But Velas dismisses this through a goal of maintaining order most of all, which could be obtained by destroying them. Velas ends the meeting with his decision, leaving Kovac disturbed. Yeah, the dude was basically, he's hellbent. Velas is like, we're murdering every single one. If there's children in there, I'm fucking murdering them. All right? I'm going to go down there myself.
Do you need me to tell you the story of Anakin? Oh, no.
The younglings, bro. No.
Do I need to tell you the story of the to Anakin?
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that about the Orville. A lot of people were saying that they're like, they know the Orville's supposed to be inspired by Star Trek, but that last episode felt very Star Wars.
Man.
And I'm like, I could see that. Just how punchy it was.
Yeah.
You know. With the strange vision, Archer informs T'Pol and the group about what he saw. He says he thinks it was Serac, and this stuns the others. Though Siren would certainly have tried to transfer the Katra if he sensed he was about to die.
I think it was Serac. I couldn't tell because he kept pulling his robe over his head and doing helicopter dick. I couldn't really tell for sure.
Oh no, that's Serac.
Like, oh, that's
they don't talk about.
It's, oh, that's Serac. He's just
yeah. As long as he doesn't put it in your mouth. It's weird. T'Pol states Katras are a myth. T'Pol always just being the skeptic.
Well, here, remember, time travel doesn't exist. You know.
That's right. But T'Pol ignores that.
Should ask her about the G-spot, see what she said to that.
Yeah. I've never heard of it. Ooh, sorry. sorry, T'Pol. T'Pol ignores that and offers to... She literally did just ignore her. Didn't say anything. And offers to mind meld with the captain to be sure, despite his misgivings about doing that with a human. T'Pol sees the desert and the...
Doing that with a human. Ew!
That's basically how she was behaving.
Yeah.
T'Pol sees the desert and the refuge that Archer took earlier, but then also senses Surak. She steps back, now sure. She knows Boss Man was in there going, you fucking up? Saval, now determined to prevent the tragedy, helps Tucker with a plan, starting with disrupting one of the satellites near the forge. During, Tucker asks Saval why he's helping them when he seems so against humans. Saval reminds him he lived on Earth for 30 years and did develop a fondness for humans. Tucker says he did a good job hiding it, to which Saval thanks him. That was funny.
That was, yeah.
So you sure did a good job hiding it. And Saval genuinely goes, thank you.
I thought you hated humans. I don't hate all humans.
Just you. You bitch. Stop asking me so many fucking questions. Meanwhile, Travis Mayweather rigs together a shuttle pod to get to the surface. Travis is doing a little bit of work in this episode, yeah, too. I love to see it. Later, Tucker gets a hail from Velas, who informs him the investigation is complete, that they can go back to Earth. Tucker wants to stay, but Velas has insisted, haven't even called Admiral Garner. Yeah, because he's about to fucking carpet bomb an entire group of people. He doesn't want the humans to see it.
Yeah.
Even with the new facts about T'Pol sensing Surak's Katra, T'Pol is still skeptical. She tells Archer about the Katra arcs that were discovered near Pajem, allegedly used to preserve Katras, and upon study, it was concluded they did nothing of the sort. T'Pol, I don't know why I find this so funny. T'Pol says it's more likely Archer is... that was a bit of a typo. Archer has Siren's memories transferred before death, since Archer's vision includes the sanctuary where Siren spent a great deal of time. Oh, so did Surak. Archer feels like it's more than that, but also wants it taken out of him. I think this is when she also says that Surak was 1,800 years ago.
Yeah.
She's just kind of giving it a stamping it with a time or whatever.
Even though she's already been through time travel a few times, you know, let's, you know,
we don't have time to explain everything to T'Pol. You know, we only got 46 minutes here, T'Pol. We got to keep it moving. Taylor objects to her. Oh wait, T'Pol then plans a dangerous ritual to transfer the Katra from Archer. Taylor objects to her, since she's never performed it before, and it may not be what Surak or Siren would have wanted. T'Pol says Siren didn't choose Archer for the Katra. He was dying and needed to save it, and T'Pol was not able. She was like, T'Pol just couldn't get to him in time. Basically, she's racist. She doesn't like she's like, well, she's more upset that a human has this thing, she doesn't.
Well,
she wants it.
Well, yeah, that's basically how all Vulcans were. They always have this like,
we're better than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, wasn't Spock like the first Vulcan that kind of bridged that gap, because he was half human?
Well, he was half human, but he always kind of had that like, he did have that kind of, I'm better, you know, it's like
superior.
Yeah. Like, what was it in that Strange
until later on, like in the movies, he softened. I feel like he got more in touch with his human side.
What was it in Strange New Worlds? He goes, as Vulcans have perfected the concept of first contact. And then Pike goes, as Vulcans always like to remind us.
Then by the time TNG came around, Spock was fucking smiling most of the time. Like, okay, dog, I see you, bro. It's cool. I'd like to see the development, you know. Even with the new facts about T'Pol sensing Surak's Katra, T'Pol is still skeptical. Of course she is. She tells Archer about the oh no, I read this already. Where the fuck was I? Tells Jester that T'Pol says Siren, didn't you? Oh, Talos asks her one last time to reconsider as Archer could die, but she doesn't, unwilling to follow Archer or sacrifice Scotch. She's like, I'm not going to sacrifice Scotch for one human. It's like, fuck this bitch. I was getting upset. Act 3. Back in the cell, T'Pol is still dwelling on her mother's choice to join the Sirenites. Archer talks to her, noting she is all right. Noting she is all right and that he doesn't think these people are responsible for the bombing anymore. Oh, noting the mother is all right. Before they can continue, T'Pol enters the cell, announcing she's decided to take the Katra from Archer. Archer agrees as he is eager to get Surak's Katra out of his mind, but T'Pol objects when they note the danger to him. T'Pol says they will use force, which prompts further objection from T'Pol, throwing a glare at Teles. She did side-eye her mom. Yeah. In the meantime, Velas finds the Enterprise is still in orbit despite orders from Gardner. Kuvok is further alarmed at Velas' behavior as he is obviously monitoring their communications and using Gardner to get rid of witnesses to his plan. Yeah, fucking Kuvok's a real one. Like, he sees the shit is going down.
Right.
He's not saying anything yet. Velas ignores it and deduces that Tucker has a plan and goes to find out what it is. Yeah, didn't Kuvok say something like, you know, these are our allies and you're spying on them? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so we're now, because he said now we're spying on Starfleet.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. And he was like, well, just because of, you know, the justifications of a fucking idiot.
Well, you see, I just have this real problem about letting people down. And I'm just a real people pleaser.
Listen, I know this looks bad, but what you're not considering is my trauma, okay? I don't have personal responsibility because trauma, okay? What trauma? Just trauma.
Then he doesn't even say it later on. He just holds up a sign that says trauma. You know, every time Kumal tries to say something, he just holds up a sign that says trauma.
What trauma are you talking about? Well, my dad left when I was young. Jesus, join the club.
You had a dad?
Yeah, that must have been nice. That was a skit from that dude who was on Saturday Night Live, and he dated Ariana Grande for a little bit.
Oh,
dude, so fucking funny. But he was walking around a family's house. I don't know why. It was for some TV show. And he was with Kevin Hart. And he's looking at the pictures. He goes, oh, wow, you have a dad? That must have been nice. And Kevin Hart was like, what the fuck? It was so funny, dude. Archer. Oh, so I was just fucking stalling. I didn't know where I was. Archer kneels down.
You know, it works better when you don't say it. When you don't say it. Yeah, I know, but
making me look like an idiot's funnier. Anything for the bit, Steve. Right. Okay? Show must go on. T'Pol to perform the ritual, holding his head from behind. Okay? Archer goes back to the place with Surak, who...
I said, don't put your hand on the back of my head.
Right. Now suffering from radiation poisoning from the fallout of Vulcan's War. Of the Vulcan's War. There's a lot of fucking errors in this. Recalls his time and his people's conflict. It's like, you know what bothers me when you're reading something and there's little error? It's like, did you read this after you typed it? Like, I feel like my old English teacher. Like, did you not read this? Because it's fucked up. Surak, interestingly, decides to stay with Archer, saying Siren wasn't able to help him. In fact, no Vulcan can. Archer, being human, isn't burdened by his people's history. He falls, insisting that the captain must find the long-lost Kira Shara so the Vulcan people can find a new path of enlightenment. T'Pol senses that Surak wants to stay inside Archer and, stunned, releases him. She looked like she felt a little ashamed. Like, I guess he doesn't want to go with me.
Yeah, he was like, no, I like it in here.
But what Surak was saying was evident right there, because she has an agenda.
Yeah.
Just like her counter does, Velas. They're so caught up in their political agendas that they're not worried about the actual teachings.
Yeah, and and Archer doesn't have a skin in the game.
Right. He's just an outsider. He's also the Mary Sue of the fucking galaxy who fixes everything.
Which was nice to have instead of T'Pol or Phlox being the Mary Sue. We actually made Archer the Mary Sue.
Fuck T'Pol, okay? Archer for life.
Yeah, I would actually. I mean, you
know. For real. Now I officially lost my place. Saval from Enterprise disables the satellite, giving Mayweather 6 minutes to get to the surface. It didn't really feel like 6 minutes, but that's okay.
Well, it was 6 minutes Enterprise time, which was about two in our time.
Malcolm Reed and Woods ride out the very bumpy ride. Oh, a lot of pauses, all right? Soon, unfortunately, two Vulcan patrol craft fire on them. Reed is able to fire back, but the shuttle loses part of its wing and is forced to return to Enterprise. So yes, it's very evident here, and also to anyone who pays attention, the Vulcans outgun the Enterprise.
Yeah, that's why they always relied on the Vulcans to back them up when they needed. Yeah.
Vulcan ships are like tanks. So, you know, also they're orbiting Vulcan. I'm pretty sure there's more than one ship hanging around. Saval surmises that they must have been monitored, and sure enough, Velas hails them and demands to know why they're sending a shuttle. Tucker, forced to admit Archer is on the surface, receives a direct order from Velas to leave or be fired upon, which I thought was cute, because Velas, I was waiting for Tucker to go, "You ordering who?" Tripping, bro. I don't know who the fuck you are. Act 4. Archer is unconscious for 3 hours under T'Pol's care. Doesn't sound like a bad thing, really. Talos comes to check on her, but she coldly says she wants nothing to do with her, noting her hypocrisy with forcing Archer under the procedure, yet condemning the high command. She accepts that, and then Archer wakes. He soon heads for where he thinks the Kirishara is, but then the Sirenites realize they're in danger and begin to evacuate. Talos goes with them, but Archer, T'Pol, and T'Pol remain behind to attempt to locate the Kirishara. Talos holds a look on T'Pol and then goes. She didn't want to leave her daughter, and her daughter told her to fuck off. Not really fuck off. She said go, you know, but whatever.
We're paraphrasing.
Fuck off, bitch. Velas sends three Vulcan ships to intercept, overcompensating a little bit, intercept Enterprise, and they begin firing. No match for them. The Enterprise begin becoming damaged, and Tucker finally withdraws under Saval's advice to retreat. As soon as the humans are away, Velas orders bombardment of the sanctuary. In the forge, Archer leads them down a corridor. He finds a mummified corpse of T'Klaas, one of Surak's students and one of the first Kalanar masters. T'Pol expresses surprise.
I am a black belt in the Kalanar.
Yeah, I saw the belt hanging there too. It's kind of dope. T'Pol expresses surprise at Archer's identification of the master, as there is no inscription or nothing to indicate his bloodline to be found. They were doing the whole... This really didn't need to happen, because this has already happened twice before, where you were seeing that Archer had Surak's memories. So I don't really know why they did this one. It was cool, but you know, it just wasn't necessary. They continue on as the bombardment starts. Archer opens a door to the room where the Kirishara is kept. It's like a pyramid thing.
Yeah,
it looked very Stargate.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you see Richard Dean Anderson pop out. They just cross paths.
Yeah, real. T'Pol is stunned to see it, as she almost believed it didn't exist. A stronger blast prompts them to leave immediately. That blast came, and they all said, "Oh, gotta get the fuck out of here." Archer then leads them out of the sanctuary, which they see has been reduced to rubble. As the Vulcan at the Vulcan Council, Velas is pleased to hear the destruction and orders troops to search and kill survivors. Kuvok, with Vulcan distaste, notes Velas is ordering a massacre, but Velas insists they are eliminating a threat. In the remains of the sanctuary, T'Pol finds her mother, Talis, gravely injured and holds her in her arms. Talis remained behind as she was afraid T'Pol was still inside. Talis admits she came to the sanctuary for her, as T'Pol has always struggled with her emotions. While Archer and T'Pol look on, Talis apparently dies just after, not apparently, she does, dies just after she tells T'Pol she has always been so proud of her. T'Pol cradles her mother's lifeless body in her arms and sheds a tear. I was actually kind of sad. I was like, oh, shit, that sucks.
It was when it says it apparently dies. And I was thinking, like, it reminds me of the scene from that movie, Top Secret, that the Zucker brothers did, where he gets the call and he's like, okay, let me know if his condition changes. He's dead.
Apparently. Commander Tucker is in command of the Enterprise, still moving away from Vulcan. Privately, Saval, who is still on board, informs Tucker in Archer's ready room of another threat. That Vulcan is planning to attack Andoria, believing they are developing a weapon based on the Zindi weapon. Velas is advancing an agenda and wants the Serenites eliminated due to their pacifist views. So it's kind of, this was kind of cool, because when that was explained, it's like everything clicks together. Yeah. Because this whole episode, you're like, why does he hate the Serenites so much? And then right here, it's like, oh, okay, because they might be a voice against all-out assault of the Andorians.
Well, what I started to piece together is the, and of course, again, I'm pulling on the allegory of this time. It was kind of like an allegory of like the, and of course people are going to say that's a bit of a reach, the invasion of Iraq. You know, if you look at it as like, oh, all these things that Iraq had something to do with 9/11, because remember, this is 2005, so this is like pretty well off. So you're looking at like, oh well, you know, the Iraq had something to do with this, and it was all of this, so look over here, you know. And any dissent was kind of being pushed down as being un-American. I remember that time where anytime it was like, oh, you're for the terrorists, that kind of thing.
You know, I remembered something randomly about that. Back then, the president, who was Bush at the time, he had an approval rating of like 94. You know, and I remember telling my grandfather, I go, wow, this presidential rating is really high. And he goes, yeah, that worries me. I've never seen it this high before. And he basically said, it just means that people are pissed off.
Yeah.
Because 94% of the United States cannot all love the president. That's wartime numbers. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay. Tucker knows what he must do, immediately leaving and ordering that Ensign Mayweather set a course to Andoria at maximum warp, to the surprise of the bridge crew. I mean, you can also go to Andoria and not get fucking blown up, because the Andorians got you, bro.
Right.
Background information, not very much for this episode.
Oh, wait, we didn't do the da-da-da, da-da-da,
da-da-da, da-da-da. To be continued. Brace Gray plays Serac in this episode. Same character, though based on a memory extracted from the mind of Captain Kirk, also appears in the Star Trek The Original Series episode The Savage Curtain, in which he is played by Barry Atwater. This episode establishes that Serac died of radiation poisoning following the explosion of one or more atomic weapons on Mount Seleia during the last battle against, quote, those who marched beneath the Raptor's wings, end quote, i.e. those Vulcans that opposed Serac's teaching, eventually became the Romulan Star Empire. The illusion of the Raptor's wings refers to the bird of prey symbol that represents the Romulan Star Empire. I thought that, you know, if there's one race that's really fleshed out, it's the fucking Vulcans, dude. Like, we know so many details about the Vulcans. This is the last of 10 episodes of the series to be directed by Roxanne Dawson, who was not Kira on Deep Space Nine. Bruce Gray previously plays Chakotay in the Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode, The Circle, and Star Trek Next Generation episode Gambit Part One. It's spelled Chakotay. I'm leaving it at that. Okay.
That's kind of what I saw. I was like, well, nah, it seems like Chakotay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's spelt different, but it is what it is. Not that Chakotay, but a different one.
This one's pronounced Chakotay. The other one's pronounced Chakotay.
Right. It's subtle difference. I feel like Vanilla Ice trying to explain they didn't steal from the fucking the police.
Yeah, because it goes dun 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 dun. And we go dun 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 dun. Dun, dun. I remember seeing that going, oh dude, you're trying way too fucking hard.
You literally just said the same beat twice. And also that stupid It's a Wrap auction, they sold Jeff Doba's costume and boots. I'm not reading the whole thing out. Fuck off.
What? You're always up for those. That's why it's in there.
Well, it's just I'll say the item that got sold, but it's worded the exact same way. So I mean, I don't need to read the whole thing. Everyone knows what the It's a Wrap sale and auction on eBay was. Okay.
Do they though? Do they?
And also, it's not that I enjoy saying them, but it's not worth my time to remove them. So I just whatever. I don't even read off of the show notes anyway. I read off of the webpage.
Well, then I shouldn't even be putting them on the show notes.
I never do that because it's right there, because I'm reading from Memory Alpha. Bro, and then I just...
Bro, for the whole thing of season three, you did that. And you put all of them in there.
You like the show notes. You like things looking all pretty on the show notes. And I'm your friend, okay?
Well, if you don't, then I won't put them on the show notes.
That's fine. Whatever makes you happy, okay? See... What you don't understand is I'm a people pleaser. Okay?
Look, I hate it when I let people down, and it really is very, you know, traumatic and just.
You know what's sad is we're kidding,
but Will Smith.
We have more communication than Will Smith has with Chris Rock right now. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude.
That's gonna be a thing for a while. It's like we're just people pleasers. We just like to. We don't like letting people down. You know?
Hold on. I want to apologize to you for wasting your time.
I love when Leon Lush goes, he did the ball. He did the breath.
I'm glad you started watching Leon Lush because he's fucking hilarious.
I've watched him before and I just haven't watched him in a while. And I was just watching one today where he was like the cringiest shit he saw on fucking on the TikTok, and one reaction was, he goes, did you ever go to a church that was like this? And there was a bunch of people sitting there, and this guy, and he has the church band warming up, and he's got like this faux hawk kind of thing going, and then he's like, everybody take off your shoes. You take off your shoes, and while you're down there, grab a sock. Grab a sock while you're doing it. He goes, I don't care, just grab it and swing it around your head. And then the band starts playing, and he goes, gonna turn around, baby, right round, like a record, baby, like a record, like a record, Jesus, right round. He tried to change baby to Jesus, and I was like, what the fuck? And then his, like, the camera pushes in real close on his head and turns orange, and then it has like this, like a strobe light effect, and you see him in the back with the sock swinging it around as the guy's singing the song.
Dude, he's so fucking funny, dude.
But anyway, what we're just trying to say is, you know, we just been through a lot, and it's
trauma.
Mm.
can I just say for the three people still here, being sad is not trauma, okay? And when you claim that you have trauma and you really don't, you're undermining people with actual trauma. Like, trauma is when something in your mind is broken. It's not you're upset about something.
You didn't lose your car keys and it created trauma.
Right. Or even big stuff. Like, my grandfather passed away. He was like a father to me. It did not cause trauma. I was just sad. Like, trauma is a big word. And it gets too much in this country. We take the big words and undermine them as fucking trivial.
Well, I think sometimes people try to use it as hyperbole. When it's kind of like, it really shouldn't. Well,
it's the same reason that people, you know, people who like their room clean say they have OCD. You're just being fucking dramatic. Like, relax.
Now, that's how I feel. No, that's how to me, OCD is when my dick lays a little to the left, I push it center because it needs to be center. That's right. OCD. That's OCD.
That's right. You know?
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Just let it happen. Just, stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us, themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.